One size fits all seems like a good idea for clothes until you try them on. Same goes for healthcare. That's why United Healthcare offers flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. Learn more at uh1.com.
Want to get a chiseled look in the jawline? Sculpt and shape your jawline with added volume from Juvederm Volux XC. Juvederm Volux XC is an injectable gel specifically designed to be robust enough to improve moderate to severe loss of jawline definition. And it is the first and only hyaluronic acid filler approved for the jawline. Add volume to your jawline for a chiseled look with Juvederm Volux XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you. Visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com.
Hi, guys.
Hi.
This is Goop Yourself, the podcast where we talk about everything goop. I'm Brian Rucker.
I'm Aggie Hewitt.
I'm on day 5 of a sugar-free lifestyle.
How is it going? Is it 100% sugar-free?
No, it's not 100% sugar-free. I am not eating any, like, dessert.
Okay.
I'm not really eating fruit except for like I'll put berries and stuff, frozen berries in my yogurt a little bit. And I'm being like pretty good about checking for, you know, added sugar in things. And I'm trying not to eat a lot of like packaged carbs. Like I'm still doing, you know, an Ezekiel bread every once in a while or like a little bit of cereal, but I'm not going crazy on the carbs.
I understand.
And
I get it.
Yeah. I'm
the carbs are look, we all want to be enlightened about carbs and just accept that carbs are like the staff of life and that they're part of like a healthy eating routine or whatever. But like, you know, at a certain point everybody's gonna wanna cut back a little bit, right?
Yeah. And this is not a keto thing. This is not like, I'm just sort of trying to wean myself off of my craving for sugar. So I figured I can be like pretty moderate. I'm also trying not to like have beer or wine, like stick to like a clear, you know, if I'm having a drink, have like a clear liquor. So it's just, you know, I'm doing little things here and there. And then of course the big thing is I am doing my 2-pronged sweet kick approach.
Oh yes. Well, I thought that this was part. I'm sorry. I thought that was like a foregone conclusion that this was.
Well, yeah.
Kick.
I don't know if people.
I guess I'm just too up to date on your sweet kick journey.
I never know. You know, we might have some new listeners who don't know. I've been talking about this sweet kick for weeks.
Because you've been gearing up, like you've been like preparing, like you've had the box, and you're like, I don't know when this is going to happen, but it's going to happen.
I've had the box for, I think, over a month now, and I finally. Last week I was like, okay, I just got to do it. And I, you know, I didn't go to Trader Joe's this week. I went to Whole Foods 365 instead. So I wouldn't be like tempted by their dark chocolate peanut butter cups.
Good for you.
And so far, so good. I don't know. Like, so this thing, I mean, I don't know if people know about Sweet Kick, if they've been listening to the podcast or just on Goop, but it's, it is a sugar reset thing created by Harley Pasternak, who is like a trainer to the stars who's been in Goop before. And it's $46 on Goop. It's pretty simple. It's like a powder that you put in water or whatever you're drinking in the morning. And then these mints that you're supposed to eat like after every meal so you don't get sugar cravings.
How many days have you been doing it?
This is day 5 of a 14-day program.
Does it work?
I think so. I mean, for me, like so much of it is just my own sort of you know, if I have the willpower and like the determination to keep with it. And I think a lot of people are like this, like if you're actually spending money on something, you'll tend to follow through a little bit more.
Yeah. It's like a psychological thing.
Yeah. So yeah. I think that's basically what it is. Like the powder is this, it's like tasteless. It sort of has a little bit of a viscosity, a little, I don't know, chlorine is the right word. It's sort of, you know, in that genre of tastes, but you put that in your water. It has like a bunch of B vitamins, magnesium, chromium, which is the big thing, which is supposed to regulate your like insulin levels and your blood sugar. And that's totally painless. I just do that in the morning. And then the mints are really, I mean, they taste even, they're like on an Altoid level. They're pretty strong.
Okay. I mean, I think they would have to be because if it's not as strong, it's going to be sweet. And that would like, you know, trigger you to want sweet things, right? Or it'd be like kind of counterintuitive because it would be like candy.
Yeah. Well, I think it sort of is both of those things. So like you do, or I do look forward to the little mint because there is, mm-hmm. it does taste a little sweet and that's the only like sweet thing I can have. But then mm-hmm. also it has this compound called Gymnema sylvestra, which is some Ayurvedic, it's called like the sugar buster in Sanskrit or something. I don't know.
Okay.
But it's supposed to, or the sugar destroyer, sorry. Mm. It's supposed to like block the sugar receptors on your taste buds. So you don't, like sugar doesn't necessarily taste good to you anymore. And then it also is supposed to block the sugar molecules from accumulating in your body.
I see. So that's interesting.
Yeah. And like, I thought it would be that thing where your mouth would just sort of be numb right after it and you couldn't taste anything. But I really think it's a little more cumulative. Like I think the first day I was trying it, I had some like dried fruit and it didn't really taste that different. And I thought, oh, maybe this doesn't work. But then the second day I had something else and I was like, it was sort of like tasteless. And now I'm not even trying any sugar because I don't want to, you know, risk it. But I think it's like deadened my sugar receptors.
That's amazing. I do feel like if you go a long time without sugar, it's easier to say no.
Yeah, no. I mean, it really only does take like a few days for your body to stop craving it all the time. But it's a thing of like, I mean, I guess it's like any drug or whatever. It's like once you get back on it, I'll just slowly, you know, build up to however much sugar I was eating before. It's hard to be very moderate with sugar and to like only have like a dessert once a week or something. It's just hard for me to do that.
Yeah. I mean, I guess it's possible if you have like a small thing every day, like something that's not like too much.
That's true. I mean, it's the classic, you know, one square of dark chocolate.
Well, yeah. Or you could have like a little, I think that just moderation is fine. I mean, I've been pretty good about not eating a bunch of dessert or like a bunch of like, I'm just trying to eat like kind of cleaner lately.
Yeah.
But I think I am going to try to pick up some Cadbury mini eggs at some point before Sunday.
Or after Sunday when they're all discounted.
That's what people say. But I feel like if I go after Sunday, the mini eggs are gone because they're so high quality that people always buy them.
Yeah. I much prefer the mini eggs to the big cream eggs. I think those are gross.
I actually really like those too, but I definitely love the mini eggs. Like those are like my favorites for candy by far.
I don't know if they still make them, but those, they used to have like caramel eggs that were the same size as the big cream eggs.
They made ones that were caramel and they also made ones that were like fudgy chocolate.
Oh yeah.
I think they still make them.
Oh, it all sounds good.
Yeah. I ate a chocolate macaroon. I ate some like flourless cake and like a bunch of dessert on Passover. But that was it. That was the last time I really did it. Yeah. Damage with sugar I think.
I mean, you don't really have much of a sweet tooth, do you?
I would not say that that is accurate. I think I definitely have a huge sweet tooth. I just like, I try to, I have like way more control. I mean, like, this is so fucked up, but like the truth is like, I think I have a lot of control in terms of like what food I eat. Where I get fucked up is that like, I'll drink like 4 glasses of wine, which is like a different problem probably, but like, that's my big thing. Mm-hmm. But like, I have a sweet tooth and like, I definitely will crave sweets, but like food in general, I don't think is like my biggest problem.
Yeah.
But yeah, like I definitely have been like thinking about those fucking Cadbury eggs. And like, this is like the best season for
candy.
Yeah.
Yeah. I guess, I don't know. I mean, my parents would do the like Easter basket thing when I was a kid, but I never overindulged in the way that I would at Halloween. I feel like that was my real binge mode.
Oh yeah. Well, I never got an Easter basket or anything. I just like got the candy from like the store. Like I never celebrated Easter in any way, but I never like binged on it because it was like always like my mom would get me like some as like a treat and I would have it like whenever I was allowed to have it. But it wasn't like Halloween was kind of like a fucking free for all and you could sort of do whatever you wanted. But I also had like restrictions on how much Halloween candy I was allowed to eat, even on Halloween nights.
Oh, that was the one time where I had no restrictions and I really was disgusting. There were definitely years where I would eat like half of my haul in the first night.
I always had like, I got to pick, I mean, I would have left for like, I don't know how it worked, but there were definitely like, it would be taken away from me at a certain point.
Smart.
And it would get like doled out to me throughout the, like for the rest of like the next couple of weeks as like dessert, I would get to like pick 2 pieces.
Yeah.
And like have them after dinner. And then at a certain point, I think they would just throw it out. Or it would just be like crap would be left. And then it would just
kind of... like Tootsie Rolls and lollipops and
Tootsie Rolls. But I really felt like in a bind at the end of the Halloween haul, like you could really kind of psych yourself into thinking you like Tootsie Rolls.
Oh, for
like
sure. Yeah.
When they were, cause they at least had some substance. They were still better than like, oh, I don't know. Like what was a really bad Halloween? Cause I liked Smarties.
The worst is like that you would get. There'd be people that would just give you like bubble gum.
That's rude. Yeah.
I wasn't
a fan of any kind. Usually those like novelty Halloween candy is like some sort of chocolate wrapped in like a Frankenstein head or something. Yeah. Those were always pretty low quality, but they weren't the worst. I don't know.
No, I mean, you know, nothing, no candy's bad.
No.
I also want to do a quick shout out to my new favorite brand of plant-based cheese, Miyoko's. Mm. I tried, because I went to Whole Foods 365 this week to go grocery shopping, their cultured vegan sliced farmhouse cheddar.
Okay.
It is, okay, it's made out of oat milk, and then they put navy beans and fava bean protein in it with coconut oil.
Wow.
It's 70 calories a slice, 4.5 grams of fat. It has that like real cheddar sharpness that I've never experienced in a vegan cheese.
Yeah.
And the texture is not, it's not going to really fool anyone. And it also like doesn't melt particularly well, but this is by far the best like vegan style cheese I've ever had.
That's great.
I'm into it.
I definitely want to move to be more plant-based, but I've been saying that for years.
Yeah, no, me too.
But that's a good change that you're making.
I mean, again, maybe this is the placebo effect, maybe this is psychological, but I feel like my digestion's better. I don't feel, I mean, a couple months ago, I was eating so much dairy and I'd sort of weaned myself off. Like I haven't been that bad since, I don't know, the holiday time. But yeah, just doing little steps We'll see how long it lasts. But I feel good.
That's good. Yeah. Dairy can be like very traumatic for like a Jewish person.
I think so.
System. Yeah. My one cup of milk a day probably isn't great for me, but it hasn't been a huge problem.
Yeah. Yeah. I think for a lot of people, milk. Well, no, I guess I was thinking the opposite. Like some people like regular milk is really hard on their system and then they can eat like cheese and yogurt and stuff, but I don't know.
Like a big glass of milk. You know, I feel like one cup is fine. I feel like two cups might push me over the edge. I've also like definitely struggled with like a bit like a grilled cheese or something. Well, like yeah. Not always easy.
No, because that can really pack in the amount of cheese. Pizza, but I never know with pizza if it's like the cheese or the like
gluten
from the dough. Yeah,
yeah, you never. It's probably just like a lethal combination.
Yeah.
But. Mm. You know, there's a lot to avoid out there.
The last piece of the puzzle for me that I don't know that I'll ever achieve is the like mindful eating, chewing a million times.
Ew.
Part of it, which I realized this is probably like the most important thing as far as digestion goes. And it's still like the hardest thing for me to actually achieve.
I know. I feel like if you chew your food too much, it's like kind of disgusting, but I know you're supposed to.
It is gross. It makes it just like so unpleasant to like eat a meal if you're chewing that much.
To chew that much, I know. Ugh, I don't even want to think about it.
No. Anything else in your world?
Not really. I mean, I've been pretty I'm getting Fraxel on Monday, so that's big for me.
What's that?
It is a laser facial that is supposed to reduce fine lines and wrinkles and correct sun damage. It's usually really expensive, but I got a Groupon that made it suspiciously cheap. So I'm not totally sure about it, but I've had to like really step back on the skincare because like I don't think you're supposed to use retinol at all and like for like at least a week before. So I just have completely stopped using like anything except for just like washing my face and then putting just like completely plain like moisturizer or oil on it, like nothing else, and sunscreen. In preparation of my big day. And yeah. It's like gonna make my face like red and peel and look crazy for a couple of and look scary for a couple
That's
of
exciting.
Days. Yeah, and hopefully at the end I'll be like youthful and young looking. Apparently some people say that they like to do it that like it can decrease your need for but look, I'm 36 years old. I know I'm not like an old person. I'm not young either, but this is not necessary for anybody, but I just think that I might want to get, you know, some Botox, some fillers, like to just like correct some things that have gone, you know, some things on my face just aren't the way that they were even 5 years ago. So whatever. But Botox and fillers, they say you have to get like every 3 months or something. And then fillers like every 6 months, but this is supposed to last for longer. So I'm going to try this first and see if I can like put off getting like other like injectables and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Which is like, I shouldn't even be talking about this on a podcast because it's like so undignified, but yeah. That's what we do here.
Exactly. So the redness is only supposed to last for a couple of days.
It says it can take like 2 weeks to heal. I don't think it'll take that long, but who knows? Because I don't even know this guy, this Groupon guy. It could be the sketchiest thing in the world. But it's like a laser. It's not like an invasive surgery. I mean,
no. I think it'll be fine. People go to those weird
they go all the time.
Cosmetic places all the time.
And he has great reviews.
Oh, you'll be great.
Yeah.
Did you see any Gwyneth news?
No, I had no idea until you told me about it.
Well, yeah. So there was a very, very divisive Vogue morning routine video that Gwyneth put up a few days ago. It sort of relates to one of the things on my list. So maybe we should wait and we'll go into it all at the same time.
Well, yeah, I mean, like I have something that I think also relates on my list. Basically, I do have something to say about it, but I can wait. I can wait.
Okay. So I guess let's just move on to the old list. Let's get into it. All right.
Okay. So I'll just say that my best is the three ways to layer skincare with sunscreen.
Yeah, this seems like, well, before you learn about the controversy, just say what you thought of the article as it was.
Okay, well, basically, I didn't think that there was anything remotely controversial about the article, except for I think it does advocate for using vitamin C serum in the daytime. This is also, I'm going to jump ahead and say that this is also my craziest, because I do think it's crazy making, because I feel like I get so many mixed messages about vitamin C serum, because some people are like, put it on in the morning. And some people are like, it makes your skin really sensitive. Don't put it on in the morning. So I've definitely struggled with this. Cause you know, you hear all kinds of things, but I always am thinking, you know, wait, do I put the sunscreen on first or do I put the moisturizer on first? I mean, this is something I think about all the time. And I know you're supposed to put the sunscreen on last.
Yeah.
But I always am like, I don't know. This is just like something I think about. I like forget every once in a while.
I think because we've been brainwashed by Gwyneth Paltrow.
Well, she's going to put it on last too.
Well, yeah, but I think this whole article was rushed to the newsstands after this video controversy came out.
But I liked that there were these like different skincare routines for different like things you're going to do with your day. Yeah. Obviously, I mean, most people don't completely change their skincare routine. I mean, like you can't afford it. I also think that this Ilia, Super Serum Skin Tint SPF 40. I have this. I do think that it's like a little bit thick and chalky. I don't think it's like the best like tinted moisturizer sunscreen you can get. I feel like, but maybe for like a natural product it's the best, but I definitely felt like it went on a little bit chalky and you really have to blend it. And then I get nervous about blending it so much because I'm like, is it even still like protecting my skin at this point? Because it's like you want to put on like a really thin layer, and then so I don't know about it. But you know, I did just like, you know, the idea of like, I like that it was like working sunscreen into your like morning routine, because I think it's really frustrating when you read people's morning like skincare routines and they don't talk about sunscreen, which happens in Goop literally all the time. Yeah. They're like, I just put on some Vintner's Daughter and go. And it's like, well, what about your fucking sunscreen? You know?
Yeah. It is the most important step in the skincare routine.
It's the only thing that matters. And it's the only thing that's like, actually, in addition to like literally being like potentially life-saving, it's like the only thing that's definitely going to make your skin look better, because sun damage is what's really fucking you up.
That's what's so weird about her whole thing with sunscreen is like, even if she doesn't care about, you know, preventing skin cancer or whatever, you'd think that she would want to make her skin younger looking. And
also she's, yeah. So do you want to just get into it? Cause I have a lot to say about it.
So the Vogue, I don't watch them very often, but they have these, you know, these morning routine videos that they do. It's basically like Goop does the same. They all do the same shit. Sure. So Gwyneth is going through her morning routine. And if, you know, if you read Goop or listen to this podcast, there's really nothing new there. She puts on her Vintner's Daughter. She does her Jillian Dempsey gold sculpting bar. She puts in her, you know, her Ilia thing, her Jillian Dempsey eye mask. And then she puts on her Vintner's Daughter first and then she does sunscreen. But she says, let's see. I have the direct quote. She says, I'm not, you know, a sort of head to toe slatherer of sunscreen, but I like to put some kind of on my nose and the area where the sun really hits. And then she just like, I mean, you guys should watch it, but she just like dabs it on her face, like do, 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 do. And then like, they do cut the video there. So she might've like gone on for a little longer before she goes to her next step. We don't really know, but she comes across as very flippant about sunscreen, and she just obviously seems a lot less invested in the sunscreen step of her morning routine than she does the specific Goop products that she's selling.
Sure.
Which makes sense. Wait,
but is it the Ilia sunscreen that she's using in the video?
I forget which one. Yeah, probably. Yeah, Ilia Super. See, that's the thing. It's like a tinted, well, I guess it's SPF 40.
It is, but like that's the problem with it, because it is, it's like when you get to a certain age, you start to put tinted stuff, and if it's too thick, it gets stuck in your creases and it really ages you. Like it can be, it's not ideal. That's why I feel like if I were Gwyneth Paltrow, I would also put on the Ilia in like little drops, because not because of the coverage, the sunscreen coverage, because of the makeup coverage, like, cause it's too chalk. It's too, I don't know, whatever. I mean, Gwyneth Paltrow has said things like this about sunscreen in the past. Like I remember vividly, she's also talked about how she like wears it like every other day because she wants to get vitamin D or something. She's just a total, like, she doesn't take sunscreen that seriously, I guess.
No. And I mean, I saw the video after I knew sort of the controversy, and honestly, like my first reaction to the video, I mean, as it is with every Gwyneth thing, I'm like, that's not really that big of a deal. Like, give me a break. People are just piling on. But then, you know, you think about it a little bit more. And then I went on TikTok and like all these, like it's like all the Jen Gunters of dermatology are there like scolding her. Like, you know, I have a problem with Gwyneth Paltrow.
They have like a financial interest in like criticizing everything that Gwyneth Paltrow does. And like, there has always been an industry of people who will tell you that Gwyneth Paltrow is wrong and then like promote themselves by doing it. I'm sure she's wrong. Like, you should wear sunscreen. It's good that people are saying like wear more sunscreen than that. I also want to say, I do believe you should cover your face, because the sun damage that I have that I'm trying to get lasered off now is because of being in my car and like not having the sunscreen go all the way. Cause it's like on my like cheek, like almost at my ear. And it's like, I can tell that that's just like the spot where like I never got my sunscreen far enough, because I was only focusing on like my nose and my forehead or whatever. So it's totally true that you should like really be careful about like getting the sunscreen on. I also think that, I don't know, it's complicated. I mean, she's not a doctor, but she's obviously like very influential, and like people listen to her for things like skincare routines. So like, I can understand why she's getting criticized for that.
Yeah, absolutely. And it can like, you know, it's really important, especially, I mean, I guess even if you're living in a place with a lot of sun, or even not, like anyone can get melanoma.
Yeah.
So I agree. Like, she should not be so flippant. And it's just like a weird thing with Gwyneth that she, because it's like, it's not only for health reasons, like aesthetically, like it would help your skin. So I sort of just don't understand what her thing is with sunscreen and why. I mean, she's never like, don't wear sunscreen, but also she's so fixated on this like mineral sunscreen, and that like any chemical that's in a sunscreen is like bad for you, which is just sort of not true.
Yeah, I also feel like Goop doesn't do a very good job of promoting retinol. And it's like, sunscreen and retinol are like the two products that work. Like, those are the two things that like every dermatologist will tell you to use. Like, those are the things that like are clinically proven to like actually work for like aging skin.
Yeah.
And Goop is always telling you to like use all of these like weird products that's like oils and all of these different things, but like, we know what works. And like, I know that these women are using retinol and sunscreen and they have that stuff, but I mean, not, I don't think they make a big enough deal about them.
No. Cause it goes against their doctrinaire like ethos of, you know, clean products.
Yeah. Which, like, is retinol even clean? I don't know. Probably not.
It seems like their definition is a little arbitrary.
Yeah.
Cause I mean, even like, you know, people would say we're not skeptical at all, but like I try to be like a little skeptical of the stuff in Goop.
I consider myself to be very skeptical, but probably not enough for some science heads out there.
Definitely not. But even like I was getting a little freaked out about the chemical sunscreen, and I was, you know, just using copper tone every day. And I'm like, is this going to, you know, disrupt my hormones or like
endocrine disruptors?
I switched recently, to a brand called Sunbum, which I think is pretty popular. Have you heard of that?
Yeah, it's popular, but yeah, that's natural, so, right?
Well, I have two of them. I have, they're both 50 SPF. I have one that's just a regular chemical sunscreen that literally is the exact same ingredients that's in Copper Tone. I think it's just like, it's reef safe.
And I think Yeah.
And then I got the mineral one, which is, zinc oxide, also 50 SPF.
I used to have the mineral one. Honestly, I don't think I like mineral sunscreens that much.
This one, I don't. This is what I've been using every morning before I go on my walk in the morning. And it's not, I mean, I think if I was like going out or like seeing people, I would feel a little, like, I think it does have a little of the, what are the people, what are the skincare influence call it? Like white cast?
Oh,
something. I don't know.
Yeah.
But it does make
it. That makes sense.
And if I mean, I have pretty like fair skin, so I don't think it shows up too much on me, but if I had darker skin, I think this would be like really like, I don't know that you could use this if you had darker skin.
My biggest problem with sunscreen, and it's a really bad one, is that my eyes are incredibly sensitive. I'm not sure that it's sunscreen, but I think it probably is. And my eyes will, if I get like any sunscreen, like in or near my eyes, just like through the course of the day, like from like sweat or like rubbing my face or like whatever the hell happens, my eyes begin to just like completely tear up, and it will last for so long. And I will have to like, I mean, I have to use eye drops. I'll have to like close my eyes and like, just like sit there with my eyes closed for like, I'm not sure how long.
Yeah. And the mineral one is worse. I think it's worse than the chemical as far as pain in your eyes.
Oh, is it?
I think like when cause I'll take a shower after I've already put on sunscreen once in the day. And when I'm like in the shower and the sunscreen is coming off my face, it's so painful.
It's so painful. Yeah. It's like definitely like an issue that I have, but you know, it's fine. I can deal with it.
And like, what's really important obviously is like the SPF and that it's, you know, it blocks UVA and UVB rays, whether it's chemical or mineral. I don't think that really matters.
I think that they can both be like effective and everything.
And I mean, and it depends on your skin. Like, I do think there's probably some people that are very sensitive to chemical sunscreens, and especially ones with fragrance. But as far as like hormone disruptors, I looked, because I didn't want to look at like the environmental working group, because that's what Goop uses. I'm like, let's look at a different source.
Yeah.
And on the BBC, they listed this whole thing about chemical versus mineral sunscreen. And apparently like the only chemical that there's any evidence that there possibly could be a little bit of hormone disrupting going on is one called oxybenzone. Mm-hmm. And even that they say is more of a theoretical concern, because it was some lab and mice studies in labs found that it was a bit of an endocrine disruptor, but there's no evidence in this happening in humans. And then I looked, and even the Copper Tone doesn't have oxybenzone. Like, even the shittiest drugstore sunscreen you can buy says oxybenzone free. So I just don't think it's an issue.
Mine is oxybenzone free.
Yeah, like everything. I think, I don't know. I mean, I'm sure you can buy one with oxybenzone, but I think all the big brands have switched. So I don't think there's really an issue as far as, except if you, you know, if you have sensitive skin and it's like, but as far as like your health goes, and then being reef safe is like a different issue. But if you're not like swimming in the ocean, I don't think that matters either.
Well, I guess people like traditionally usually wear it at the beach. I mean, when I was a kid, it was like, I only put it on when I went to the beach.
Oh yeah. When we were kids, like that's, I mean, you only put sunscreen on when you were going to the beach.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
I know. I can't believe we didn't like put it on every single day. Also, I guess I've been using SPF 60. That's high, but that's fine.
Yeah, I mean I used to just do like 15 or 20, but Now I just do 50 just to be on the safe side. It doesn't.
Yeah, I get it as high as I can. Because they say at a certain point, it's like, it doesn't get any better. Like after or something, like after like SPF, like 45 or something, like it's all yeah. the same. I've heard that, but I mean, it, whatever, it doesn't cost anymore. So if they're selling it, I'm going to buy it.
Exactly. But I think, so I do like, I really do like the sun bum because it is, it's, it has that great, just sort of classic coconutty beachy sunscreen smell, which I like.
Yeah. I used to have that one that you have.
I like it a lot.
I had that one. And then I also had like a stick.
I saw that. But I think I'm going to switch to putting the chemical one on first thing in the morning. And then because that washes off pretty easily. So when I take a shower, and it won't sting as much. And then for the rest of the day, I'll just have the mineral on when I'm like in the house. I think that's my plan.
Yeah. I honestly don't even know. I don't believe that what I'm using is, well, it's fragrance-free, paraben-free, tested on sensitive skin, and oil-free. I think it's fine.
Yeah. Is there oxybenzone?
No.
See, that's all. You're good.
Yeah.
Good. So I'll be curious to see if there's any continued fallout. I think this is probably just like, you know, a typical day in the life Gwyneth controversy.
Yeah, I think that this is just the kind of thing that they do. I don't think it, I mean, I don't think it's going to have like, obviously, a major impact on her career. I guess it's interesting, like, to think about what her, what level of responsibility she has. Cause when it's true, like when it's stuff like vibrators or people are like offended about the name of one of her candles or something, or like even something like the Jade Egg, I'm just kind of like, okay, like this is so stupid. But this is actually something that's like actually important for people to understand. Like, you know, I guess I wonder, but I also don't know like how much scrutiny is like being put on the other morning routines.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I mean, I know I've seen lots of morning routines where people like omit the SPF, and I don't like it because I think it's like an incomplete like demonstration of like what a healthy morning routine would look like, but I've never seen anyone be called out for it. So it's kind of weird.
No, I mean, I'd be curious to look at these other Goop videos and to see if, you know, every other person is like very responsible about making sure that they talk about SPF, and I
and like
highly
fully
doubt.
Covering yeah. all the areas of your face or whatever. I mean, I just think that this is part of, people are just watching what Gwyneth Paltrow does to react to it and like, you know, further their own careers. Like, it's a, I don't know why doctors need to be on TikTok and wherever else they are, but that's what they're doing, and fine. But I trust my doctor that I go to at the doctor's office. I don't trust doctors that I hear about on.
No. I forget when I was looking at like the YouTube comments, like I forget the amount of vitriol that Gwyneth gets because we're in such a bubble and like literally.
Yeah. Cause in our world, we're like, oh, everybody loves Gwyneth Paltrow. She's like America's favorite leading lady. And there's no problem with her. And everybody thinks that the controversies are just a big laugh, but people like despise her.
Yeah. And it's funny. Like it was like 90% of the comments were, how dare she, like she's gonna like cause a skincare or skin cancer epidemic in the US. And then the other 10 were just confused because she talks about like doing meditation with her husband, and the other 10% were just thinking that she's actually married to Robert Downey Jr.
Are you kidding me?
Yeah, like she like, I think if you're under 30, like literally the only thing you know her from, unless you are a Goop person, like the only thing you know her from is Avengers.
I know. I feel like I just have to say something as like an old person, and it's like kind of off topic, but I feel like people who are under 30, like when we were that age, we were like obsessed with like old things and like old people and like the like things from the past. And I feel like now, like just like from like people in my own family, they have like no idea, no interest. And they think that like everything that like people our age are, like, or have ever known about is like stupid old garbage.
It is weird because I think that's true too, but then I'm wondering, is it like, is it just like a a sample size? Like, are we not getting, because I feel like most people our age, when they were, you know, in their teens or 20s, were probably not obsessed with the things that we were obsessed with.
That's true. Yeah. I mean, we were definitely like, cool.
and like back then there was no social media. So if you were like boring and had like basic taste, you just sort of kept it to yourself. And it was like the weirdos and like the artists who like talked about their taste and their obsessions.
Yeah.
But now because of social media, everyone does that. So I think we might just be seeing like a bigger sample size of idiots than we did, but maybe not.
I mean, I don't know, because like, I feel like people like that are like, that I actually know are like that are just like, I don't know about that. Like I don't know about a thing from 10 years ago. Like, I don't know about, they certainly don't know about things from like, they definitely don't know about things from like the 80s or the 70s, but like, they also don't know about things from like 10 or 15 or 20 years ago.
It is weird. Cause like, Our generation as like very, as like old millennials, I think we were so, when we were little, we were so obsessed with how cool Gen X was.
I know.
So I think from an early age, we like idolized our elders in a way that, I mean, think of like the baby boomers when they were kids, they fucking hated anything older than, maybe the zoomers are going to be like the baby boomers.
Yeah, I think it's like some generations like idolize what came before and some don't. Like we were obsessed with Gen X. Like I thought Gen X was like the coolest generation until like 6 months ago. Exactly. And now I don't think that anymore. But I really was like, oh, I wish I could be Gen X. Like that's the coolest generation.
I know. I mean, and I'm so on the bubble that I like, I was friends with Gen X people who were just like a year or two older than me.
Oh, totally. I mean, like I like lived with a Gen X man for like 8 years.
And now they're all dying of old age.
And now they're all storming the Capitol. Yeah. That's who, I feel like the baby boomers get like so much like QAnon grief, which is like well-deserved, but I feel like Gen X is like in there deep.
Oh, for sure.
That's
for sure.
50. It's like 50-year-olds. That's Gen X.
Totally. Because think of like on like Mad Men, how the generational divide was so huge, like from like, you know, Don and Betty and stuff. And then when he married Megan, like just a few years younger, and they were like the baby boomers, it was such a vast difference in generation. Yeah. I feel like that's what's happening now between like Zoomers and Millennials.
Yeah, we're like completely different.
We're like the Mad Men people.
Yeah, except for like none of us have jobs. We're, I don't know what we're like.
But yeah, I mean, Gen X icon, Gwyneth Paltrow, no one under 30 cares about her. That's fine. Which limits our audience.
It's fine. It's fine.
All right. Oh, but I do have a best.
Oh, right. Sorry.
And this is, I mean, I'm never going to read this book or buy it or whatever, but I just like the vibe. It was the article called Why the Idea of Laziness is a Lie.
Oh, I love this. This almost made my list, but it didn't.
So it's PhD Devin Price. She wrote a whole book, basically like an anti self-help book. That's just like, you know, don't beat yourself up. Like, being productive is not the only value in this life. It's called Laziness Does Not Exist. Go ahead.
Oh no, I was just gonna say my old therapist used to say this to me, and my old therapist would say, I don't believe in lazy. If you're not getting things done, there's something else going on, and that's what we're here to unpack. And I'd be like, okay.
Yeah, I mean,
talk about stuff. But I think laziness is a lie.
I would like to think so. I don't know. Yeah, I mean, like, there probably is. Well, because this woman, she goes even further. Not like if you're not getting things done, there's something else going on.
Sorry. Are you sure that this person identifies as a woman and uses she, her pronouns?
I am not sure.
I think that they might use
talk about the fact that like not only is there maybe something else going on, but that it's actually like fine to just not do things, which I think gets into a whole other issue of like, unfortunately, we're in this like capitalist society where you have to be productive.
Yeah, I've heard that is like a critique of capitalism a lot, like that productivity is like, that there's like a value judgment assigned to productivity. And I think that's true, that like not, I mean, obviously there's a value in the things that you might or might not produce, but like your value as a human being isn't dependent on like how much you, money you can generate basically, or like what you can, or like your productivity.
Yeah.
And that like just being on this planet and like enjoying life should be enough.
Should be enough. Unfortunately, you know, if you need a roof over your head and food to eat, it's not enough.
Right.
So it's sort of, it's frustrating hearing this argument, and it feels like a little utopian, like, mm-hmm. And I'm sure there's, you know, there's a lot of value in this argument, and I would love to live this way. And I feel like, well, maybe that's part of my problem. I feel like I am lazy a lot of the times, and like, maybe that's true, maybe that's not, but this would be a nice sort of counter argument to like, you know, give yourself a break a little bit.
Yeah. I mean, I think that if you're not doing something that you want to be doing, there's probably a reason for that, that you need to examine, not you personally, like people. And if you're comfortable with the amount that you're doing, but you still feel like societal pressure to contribute more, even though you're like taking care of yourself or whatever, then I feel like that's where it gets into maybe a like a toxic like culture of like overproductivity that like romanticizes stress and like romanticizes like exhaustion, but isn't really, that's like not really healthy.
It's hard to know where sort of the internal pressure ends and the societal pressure begins. Like, I feel like it's hard to unpack what is actually coming from my own like desire for my own, I don't know, for my own happiness to like get something done, and what is like, I feel like I should get something done because of some other reason. I don't know. It's hard. Maybe that's why I should go to therapy.
Well, I don't know. I mean, I went on Wellbutrin and that seems to be helping. Maybe you can do that. Yeah. But I mean, I think that I've heard you talk about this, like elements of this idea, like, you know, like the whole like girl boss, like whatever thing, and like all of the like hashtag like slay type of content, I feel like is like kind of part of this conversation, that like people, you need to work like 4 jobs a day to be doing anything, or like the Dolly Parton, the 5 to 9 Super Bowl commercial is like, reminds me of this argument. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Oh God. Yeah. It was horrifying. The idea
for like Patreon or something, right? Or
it was
Squarespace.
Squarespace, I think. And it was, oh yeah, you're right. I'm sorry. Devin Price does go by they, them.
Yeah.
The 5 to 9, I thought it was like 5 p.m. to 9 p.m., but no, it's supposed to be 5 p.m. to 9 a.m., which is like so psychotic.
Wait, it is?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't get that. Are you serious?
Yeah, yeah. It was okay, meant.
See, that is so fucking, so you're supposed to literally be working 24 hours a day.
Yeah. It was just like song. In your off time, like all your off time, like here's, you know, here's your side hustle, can be done any time of day or night. So yeah, it's literally 5 p.m. to 9 a.m.
That is so sick. When do you sleep?
I mean, I don't think that Dolly expects you to like be hustling every hour. Well, that's the whole thing with, I mean, I'm not gonna to say anything against Dolly Parton.
No, and I'm not asking you or anyone to, please. I would never. I love Dolly.
Because she, I think, like genuinely loves, like I'm sure she works so hard and she does so many things, but she, it generally seems, genuinely seems like she absolutely loves doing all that work. And like, I think there are some people that are just built that love, you know, going 24/7 and like hustling, and they thrive on it. And like, that is good. Like, she's super talented and like, she's contributing a lot to society, but not everyone is built that way. And like,
well, she's a famous musician who's like living her wildest dream. Like, I don't think that we should compare ourselves to that. Like, what this commercial was about, it wasn't like, practice your art and perfect your craft and be like a spokesman for your generation or whatever. It was like, you can't survive on a 9-to-5 job, so you have to also drive for Uber and like do a bunch of other meaningless jobs. And one way that you can maybe do that better is by using our website to promote whatever the hell it is you do. I think there are a lot of people who could wake up in the morning excited to work and work all day and all night on something that they're truly passionate about. But most people don't have the luxury of working in a field that they are passionate about, especially this kind of thing where they're talking about like the gig economy. I mean, no one is passionate about, you know, working for Instacart.
No. And it's like, unfortunately, work is always going to be a part of our society, you know, whether we continue to live in this like super like capitalist society, or there's some, you know, more forms of like socialism that like, and you know, the welfare state, if that gets expanded, like there's never going to be this like this non-work like communist utopia where everyone just is able to do what they want. Like, that's just not possible. So the least we can do, if the majority of people are going to be working to live and not living to work, the least that we can do is have some sort of like protections for them. So if people do have to work, I mean, 40 hours a week is a lot, and that's like the minimum for most people.
Oh yeah. I mean, and you should absolutely be able to like, I mean, if you're working 40 hours a week, there's no reason that you shouldn't be able to afford an apartment in the city where you're working those 40 hours a week. That's just unacceptable. And whatever. I mean, that people need to take second jobs, and that's such a normal part of all of our lives, and especially something that gets like presented as being like cool or aspirational in some way is just like so sick.
Because it's brainwashing. People are just being exploited and making capitalists rich, and the workers are just working more and more to the bone and not even being able to have, like, we are a rich enough society that everyone should have. I mean, they say in the Declaration of Independence that it's like the pursuit of happiness is part of what we're guaranteed as Americans, and like, I think that is completely gone away now.
Well, that was originally going to say the pursuit of money, but they changed it.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
that's funny.
I mean, I heard that somewhere. I don't know if it's true, but I think.
So yeah, we should go back to what the founding fathers believed, guys.
Maybe
I've become,
I don't know about that, but
a strict constitutionalist, like my hero, Antonin Scalia.
Okay, let's just move on. That's definitely not true.
No. But yeah, so this book, I would be curious to read more. I think it might even just make me frustrated though, because I'd be like, oh, this just isn't possible for most people to choose to do less.
Yeah. Well, it was your best though, right?
It was my best. Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. What was your worst?
Okay. My worst was the long weekend in Montecito.
Yeah. Interesting. Interesting.
I don't have a problem with an aspirational weekend getaway in the digital pages of Goop. That's what I come for. I expect it and I enjoy it. This was just a very uninspiring trip they had planned for me. I mean, I just didn't really respond to it. I mean, I don't know. There's like one hotel that they recommend. Then you're supposed to go shopping at the Goop store, and then like another little place. And then There were like three restaurants and two beaches and that was it. I just like, I don't know. I thought it was kind of underwhelming.
Yeah, I agree. And Montecito is like a super, super charming town. It's, you know, just a few miles from Santa Barbara.
It's where the heart of power, yeah, the heart of power beats.
Oh, we got Oprah, we got Meghan and Harry, we got Gwyneth. And they live, you know, on the hills, and then they come down. It's basically just like one strip of stuff, like one street, a few blocks from the beach. And I don't know. I've only been there once. Like, we went there right after we got married. We just like drove to Montecito for a few nights.
So nice.
But I loved it. And I just feel like this thing didn't do it justice. Like there's an Honor Bar, which is my favorite restaurant in the world.
Yeah, you really were excited about this.
Yeah. They have one in Beverly Hills too. It's owned by Hillstone. It's like the fancy Hillstone. Mm-hmm. But they didn't even include that in this thing.
No, I love that shit. Remember when I had that little birthday dinner with just you and John and Brian at
Houston? Hillstone in Pasadena.
Yeah.
Great. Or Houston's. Was it Houston's or Hillstone?
It was Houston's, but Houston's is Hillstone.
Same thing.
Yeah.
I mean, they should have included that. Like, there's literally a Four Seasons there that is, I mean, the most gorgeous bar I've ever been to. It's like this Spanish style architecture, these palm fronds, and it's sort of like half indoors, half outdoors. There's like a guitar player. You can like bring your drink out onto the beach, and they don't even list that.
Crazy. What a waste.
Yeah. So I don't know. And Gwyneth obviously should know better. She like literally lives there.
Yeah.
Part of the time. I don't know how often she's
Feel like this is like a half-assed little thing. I mean, I don't know. I mean, Juice Ranch?
Juice Ranch. I mean, I'm sure it's great.
I don't know. I was just like, yeah, like it didn't make it seem that exciting, but I know that it could have and it should have been.
Yeah. And like, I mean, Montecito is really nice, but you can't, if you're there for more than like a day or two, like you need to at least drive to Santa Barbara because there's like way more stuff to do there. So
If you want to like really enjoy Montecito, you need to like become a billionaire, buy a mansion there and just like live in absolute luxury.
Yeah.
That's the way to do it. Right.
I was looking, cause like my mom was like sort of talking about selling her house and like moving somewhere by the beach.
Oh, wow.
And so we were just like jokingly looking at like places in Montecito.
Oh my God.
And I think there's one like studio apartment there that's like probably just like a shack. And
oh my God,
I forget how much it was. Still like, you know, several million dollars.
Oh my God. I mean, who would even want to like have like the shitty like apartment in Montecito?
I would. I'd love to be the poorest person in Montecito.
Yeah.
To just be like the town tramp. I would dress like Charlie Chaplin and just like put out my hat and like hopefully get.
And like Gwyneth Paltrow would like drop a nickel in there or something. Yeah. I feel like those are like the cheapest people in the world. Super wealthy.
To be a panhandler, to be the one panhandler in Montecito.
Oh God, I don't think you'd last very long.
No. Ugh. The night that we were there, an older woman invited John and I to her country club and we declined.
Oh, you did?
Yeah, because we were only there for a couple of days and she was like drunk at the Honor Bar and she's like, oh my God, like come to the club tomorrow. And we're like, that's like our whole other day. And I thought, I don't know. If I was a different type of person, I would have taken her up on the offer, but it seemed a little weird.
Yeah, it was. Sounds like it was really weird.
I mean, I could have gotten sex trafficked.
I mean, she was probably just like drunk and screaming stuff and she wouldn't have remembered the next day.
I'm sure not. I'm sure she'd be like, she'd like call the cops on us.
Yeah.
All right. What? Oh, my worst was obviously the whole sunscreen debacle.
Yeah, that was right, bad.
What was your craziest?
My craziest, I already mentioned, was the vitamin C in the daytime I feel like I'm being gaslit because sometimes they tell me to put it on in the morning and sometimes they're like, do not ever put it on in the morning. It makes your skin too sensitive to wear in the sun. So I feel, I just don't like it. Like I want to get a clear answer on the goddamn on the vitamin C.
What is the truth? What is the truth? Cause like vitamin C, it's just like intuitively, you're like, oh, this is a morning thing. You're like, this is
because you're revitalizing. It's like
Yeah, orange, exactly.
And I bought ones that are like anything that's orange scented, I'm like, oh, that's for the morning. And it's always like the zinger, like it's yeah, like exactly. something that like makes me feel like buzzed up. Like, and so yeah,
get up and go.
But also I've heard the opposite. So it's a very complicated topic.
If I put vitamin C, like an orange or citrus scented vitamin C serum on at night, I would think that I would not be able to get to sleep. Like it, no, I think
excited. Like,
yeah, it feels like there's like almost caffeine in it for some reason.
Yeah, you'd be totally amped up.
I don't know. Oh, who knows? Who knows?
I don't know.
Maybe dermatologist TikTok can fill us in.
Oh God, that's all we need.
I've been making a couple TikToks.
What?
I only put one online of my cat.
Yeah, that's what I did with my dog. Wait, I'll make my dog follow your cat.
Oh yeah. I made one last night that was me in the psychedelic clown filter being insane.
I don't know.
But I didn't put it online.
I mean, it's just so fun.
It is fun.
It's fun. Only some of these apps have filters that work on animals. Snapchat does and TikTok does. Unfortunately, Instagram doesn't.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. But yeah, 2 years later, I get what everyone's excited about.
It's kind of addictive. Okay, what's your craziest?
Okay, my craziest, and it's not that crazy, honestly, but I was just thinking to last week's Hello My Ages and then this week's.
Oh my God, I know. I really have to issue a request.
And really, my craziest is honestly your reaction to last week's Hello My Ages.
I feel like that's like so honestly rude of you to like call me out like this. First of all, like at the end of the episode, I was like, oh wait, I'm not sure that I was right about this. And then we like spent some time off the air. And I fully realized that I was not exactly correct, but it was just like that one picture.
That one picture is gorgeous. Yeah.
I was like, I couldn't believe she was 60 in that picture. But then you like look at more pictures of her and you're like, okay, I see that this is like an Orange County, probably Republican.
This woman this week is 53. She's not, I mean, she looks beautiful, but she looks, you know, like she could be 53. Mm-hmm. Her name is Markena Alexiades, and she is public enemy number one for Gwyneth, a dermatologist.
Oh no, Gwyneth's ultimate enemy.
But she seems like she's doing a whole profile on Goop. So she seems like she's probably not as angry as other dermatologists about.
Well, this was before, I'm sure that they did this before the big Vogue story came out.
Yeah, I wonder if she's going to have to like retract this. She claims to have written an entire textbook on cosmetic dermatology, which is very impressive.
Yeah.
But her claim to fame is her aunt, not even where she's from, but her ancestry is from a blue zone on a Greek island.
Yes, I saw that. Well, I thought it was just like near a blue zone.
Near a blue zone. Blue zone adjacent.
And which like, is like, that's like a real like wild thing to work into your professional biography, I must say. Even if you're a dermatologist, I mean, that's a real stretch.
So she's basically like claiming that genetically she is predisposed to being, to like helping you de-age. And yet she says her 23andMe results say that her telomeres say that she should look 5 years older than she was. I didn't really understand what that meant.
Oh, there's like a thing you can do to like find your like true age.
Okay. But I always think of blue zone people as like they live a long time, but like you can see it in their faces. Like no one's saying that blue zone people look young, right?
No, no, no. That's not the thing about blue zone people. I mean, they might be like more active into their old age and like look very fit, but they're not like, you're not shocked that they look 10 years younger. They just live a long time.
Yeah. So, I mean, I guess, you know, do with that what you will, but that's her. I mean, she also is like went to Harvard and stuff.
Yeah. She doesn't need the blue zone connection.
No. Yeah. That's, and then she says she like her, exercise routine or whatever is she mimics the blue zone life as best as she can. And then she says by working hard in my Manhattan or Hamptons office, helping heal people all week. I'm like, okay.
That's not really exercise.
No, I mean, she's in an office. She's just walking from
she gets steps in.
I guess. I mean, yeah, you're going to the waiting room and saying, you know, Mr. Rucker next, and then you're going back
but
to your office.
But she probably means she's like on her feet a lot and walks around.
Yeah. And then on the weekends, she tills the soil and plants botanicals on her farm.
All right. Well, that's a life that some people like. I don't want to be on a farm ever.
I do have some sort of vague fantasy of farm life, and yet I realize it's a lot of hard work, and I will follow what's their face? Doctor, the last person we talked about. The lazy life.
The lazy I already doctor. Forgot their name. No, then laziness doesn't exist.
And of course this dermatologist also has her own line of products named after her.
The products look pretty good, but I don't really know what, like, I don't know.
Yeah, they look fine, but it's like, how are they different from any other of these good products that we're
using? I don't know. I wish someone would just invent a time machine and I could just like actually go back in time and then I wouldn't have to use any of this stuff.
Wait, you mean go back in time to when you were younger and then you would start putting on sunscreen earlier?
No, I just like, I would have like a younger body and I'd be happy.
Oh, I see. So literally go back. But would there be, but you would still be the same age. There would just be a different you that is younger.
Yeah, but I want to be that one.
Oh, I see.
I just want to be that younger version.
I wonder if you went back in time and then you had your younger version kill you, would you just...
I would be young forever.
You would be young forever. You just keep repeating that over and over again.
That's fine.
I guess, but...
Is that really, what it was about? I never saw it.
I never saw it. I don't know. What else? Oh yeah, this is her other, okay, so this is a dermatologist, and maybe this is true, who knows. She also says shade is better than SPF. While wear sunscreen is good advice, I try to use sun protective clothing and minimize midday sun exposure as much as possible.
I mean, I think so, that's also really good advice.
I do think dermatologists are all into like the really wide brim hats and like the full body covering clothes.
Yes, I think that's true, but I also think that also because of something I read in Goop, it's like I always have sunscreen on even if I don't leave the house. You have to have sunscreen on even inside in the daytime.
Yeah. I mean, there's windows, guys. Come on, the light's coming through. Yeah.
So like it's true, but just wear it.
Just wear it.
Yeah.
So we'll, yeah, stay tuned to next week's Hello My Ages, and
we'll keep you updated on that one too. Yeah. I guess I won't get so excited next time by one shiny picture because
no.
I really made an ass out of myself, but that's fair.
That was a great picture.
It was a great picture.
All right. What would you try?
Okay. So I would try the Goop 5-day workout. That was pretty fun.
Cara Delevingne.
5 30-minute workouts. I mean, that's great. For free on Goop. I mean, I could think of a worse way to spend 30 minutes.
Yeah. So what do we got? Like it starts with like a yoga flow thing.
Uh-huh.
And then what's next?
Low impact bar sculpt, cardio bar, core and conditioning, and low impact strength training.
That sounds pretty good.
All good. I have been doing bar workouts at home.
Any specific videos or like what are you doing?
I've been using this app called Sweat. I found out that I was subscribed to like 3 different bar streaming workouts and I was spending like $30 a week. Oh, I mean, a month. God. And I had to like unsubscribe from them, but I do use this one app called Sweat and it has, it like schedules like a week's worth of workouts for you. And then you just like do them and then you get like a little like confetti thing. Oh, cool. At the end, and it's like, you did it.
Are they like live classes or just like videos?
No, it's like pre-recorded videos. Yeah. But it's pretty good if you can't, you know, obviously go to a class.
Yeah. I've never tried a cardio bar class. Maybe I'll check out one of these videos. I'm just like Adrian all the way.
Yeah, I know. What would you try?
What would I try? Oh, okay. I know I've said bad things about them in the past, but I think the point I am in my life now, I would actually try these non-alcoholic cocktails.
Oh my God. I know. I'm like so conflicted about those, but I didn't like the idea of that article where it was like, make cocktails out of your slop and your scraps.
Well, it seemed like a bit of a stretch because it was, yeah, they were advertising these Seedlip non-alcoholic cocktails, but then they were giving recipes for all of them. But then the scrap stuff seemed a little unrelated. It was like, after you make the cocktail, like you can make like a soup with your carrot greens or something. It didn't seem like completely related to the cocktails.
No, it didn't.
Okay. So as I said earlier in this podcast, I am not having any, well, I did have a glass and a half of wine, but it was like a special occasion the other night. Other than that, I'm just having like 2 ounces of clear liquor. That's all I'm having per night. But then I thought, if I'm doing that, do I even need the alcohol? Can I just have 2 ounces of Seedlip and will it be the same? Like, is that better for me?
Well, what are you getting out of the 2.5 ounces of alcohol?
I don't know. I'm getting pleasure out of, I bought like a really nice gin from Silver Lake Wines. It's like a sort of botanical, it's not a juniper heavy gin. It's a little more like fennel-y, herby. And it's really nice. And I've just been having that on the rocks the last few nights. One of them. Well,
do you think that if it was like a non-alcoholic Seedlip, it would? I don't think so.
If it tasted good, because I'm not getting drunk off of this. Like I'm really just having it for the taste. But the thing with Seedlip is like, I don't know if it's even like, it's a distilled product. It doesn't have alcohol in it, but it probably has like the same amount of calories, right? I don't know.
I mean, I feel like, even if you're not getting drunk off the alcohol, it's like that little bit of like burning pain that you're getting where it's like, you know, you're drinking alcohol and it like sends signals to your brain to like relax a little bit.
Totally. It's like my routine sort of as I'm making dinner or right before I'm making dinner is to pour myself that. I'm saying this is my routine. I've literally done it for the past 2 days. And then I'll turn on whatever Housewives has been on, is like on my, you know, TV. And I just zone out for a little bit. I don't know if I could do that with Seedlip.
I don't know. Maybe.
I should try it. But it's like, these things are, oh, they're $32. So it's not any, it's like about the same as like, it's even less expensive than like a nice bottle of liquor.
Yeah. But it's,
where am I going to buy it? Like, I'm not going to get it on Goop. They don't have it at like BevMo.
Why not get it on Goop?
I guess I could.
Oh my God. I just got a notification that my old therapist that I told you about, who told me that laziness wasn't real, but I had to fire her, just got on Snapchat.
Got on Snapchat?
It just like dropped on my phone, like just as we were talking about her.
That
she joined Snapchat.
I honestly didn't know that they still even had Snapchat. I thought, didn't Instagram buy Snapchat or something? Or no?
No. I mean, I don't know. Actually, I think they did, but Snapchat still did.
Crazy.
Anyway.
But yeah, these Seedlips things, I think because I'm very into gin, and this seems like the closest, it seems like an approximation of gin. There's a carrot citrus. Oh no, sorry, that's the cocktails. The expressions, the 3 Seedlip expressions are Garden 108, which has notes of fresh peas.
That's disgusting.
I think we made fun of this before, but now I'm like so into it.
Well, I don't want to drink something that tastes like peas.
Spice 94 is warm thanks to cardamom and allspice.
That's the one that sounds like it would be the most gin-like.
Yeah. Well, the Grove 42 is citrusy. Yeah, I don't know. I honestly want to try that pea one.
I want to try the Grove 42 one, but I don't really want to try any of them. I mean, I guess I do. I don't know. Do I not?
I would love to have a bottle of Seedlip on my bar and then at you know, 5:30 or 6, I could make a decision in that moment. Do I want gin or do I want seed lip? I'll probably never choose seed lip.
Who would?
I don't know. I don't know. This might be a bad idea. I still want to try it. If I see it somewhere, I'll buy a bottle.
Orange, blood orange, mandarin, lemon, ginger, lemongrass. I mean, I just like, I guess I just don't get it. It's like, I feel like I'd have to try it to know what the hell it even is.
Yeah.
But I know, I definitely have friends who like don't drink anymore and like use these like alcohol replacer things to make cocktails. I mean,
no, if you're not drinking at all, this seems like a great idea. I guess it's a good idea to cut back. I don't know. The garden punch that they have the recipe for looks very good too.
I'm just like totally fine. Like if I'm not drinking, like I'll just have like a LaCroix. It's really not that big of a deal to me to not. Like I don't need like something that look. I don't know.
See, LaCroix for me is like a LaCroix for me is like a citrus vitamin C serum. It only works in the morning.
Oh really? Oh, I only have it like at like cocktail hour. Yeah. It's like my cocktail.
No, that's good.
Yeah, right. I mean, not always, but
yeah.
I mean, I just had one, so that's
awesome. I wish I was more into herbal tea. I just can't get into it.
Herbal tea definitely is not an alcohol replacer to me.
No, it's like for after. It's like just before you go to bed.
Yeah.
Like you can't. Yeah, you can't have an herbal tea at cocktail hour.
No, that would be depressing, I think. But I sometimes do have like a nice like chamomile before I go to bed. This is like a good way to get a little more water in too.
Oh, totally. Except I try to like stop drinking water about an hour before I go to bed so I don't have to pee in the middle of the night.
That's smart. I usually put off drinking water until the end of the day. So like in the last like 4 hours of the day, I'm like chugging water and then I like pee all night long. I'm just really, really stupid.
All right. What would you buy?
I would buy the sculpting bar. I think I'm ready to try it. I don't know really if it does anything. It probably doesn't, but I just like, I feel like it's time for me to get the Jillian Dempsey.
Jillian Dempsey. Yeah. I mean, you should watch Gwyneth's Vogue video. Cause that was the highlight of it. It really, like when she pulled that out and started doing it, it made me like, oh,
it looked good.
Yeah. It looks really good.
Cause it just like beats your wrinkles out. Right. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It like massages your face until it's smooth. I just don't understand how that would even work, but I'll take her word for it.
My face. I feel like there's always so much tension in my face and just to get all that loose.
I know. I've always had like really deep wrinkles in my forehead, but they're not really there. It's because I hold tension in my forehead. So I've always had like that little like crease between my eyebrows and then like lines on my forehead, but it's like I can relax them away mostly. I mean, now there's like fine lines there, but I mean, it's not as deep as they've always looked or they've often looked.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm. It's rough.
I would buy the Goop apron.
Oh, they have an apron?
Yeah, I think it's new. I don't think I've ever seen it before. It was on their like kitchen. It was like a roundup of all their kitchen products.
Yes.
And it just has, you know, Goop in the Goop font. It's like a sort of salmony burnt orange color. I think it's like a pretty trendy color right now. And I had an apron. I don't know how one loses an apron, but it happened to me. Mm. I bought years ago in New York. I bought an apron when the first Eataly opened. It was like a cute, now it's like the whole thing's canceled. But back then it was a very cool place to go. And I bought like an Eataly apron. And then I have no idea why, but it's not in my possession anymore. I'm constantly getting olive oil stains on my shirt when I cook. So I do need an apron.
I like this Goop apron actually. It's pretty inexpensive. It's $28. Yeah. I was kind of concerned because I feel like there's this trend, or maybe it's not a trend, it's like been around for a few years, but like people buying really, really expensive aprons, like chef's aprons or whatever. There are like all these, and they're like, I just don't really understand why I would need that.
There was that woman a few years ago that made the rounds everywhere. It was like New York Times, Bon Appetit, and she was selling these, yeah, like $300 aprons. And I think it was a scam.
Yeah, there was like a big apron thing happening, and I feel like it's still there. But $28 to me seems fair for an apron. Like, your apron shouldn't be, I don't think your apron should be that expensive.
Yeah, and like for Goop, I mean, so I get a seed lip, bottle of seed lip, an apron, and then throw in the lip balm, and then I'm at $75, get free shipping. I'll think about
it. There are worse things you could do with $75. Probably better things you could do also, but
I chickened out on buying my, because I was going to treat myself to Vintner's Daughter with the stimulus check, but I chickened out.
Why?
Because I would feel too guilty. Even though Gwyneth on the Vogue video, she literally uses like 2 drops of Vintner's Daughter. So it'll probably last like a year at least. I don't know. I can't bring myself to do it.
How much is it?
It's like $185. It's so crazy.
It's not that bad. You should do it, Brian.
I've wanted it for literally since we started this podcast 5 years ago.
If you want it and you got the stimulus check.
I know.
And you just think it's going to make you feel guilty. Like, why would you feel guilty about that? About like buying something you want.
I would just feel guilty about it. But maybe I'll see. There might be a moment of weakness. And then once I buy it, the guilt won't last very long. And then I'll have a bottle of Vintner's Daughter for a whole year. So
yeah, we'll, and I wouldn't call it a moment of weakness. I would call it a moment of strength. If you,
thank you. Wow. You're a real enabler.
I'm not an enabler. I just think that you should have what you want.
Oh, that's sweet. We'll see. We'll see. Yeah. All right. Anything else?
I think we're like, I think we've covered everything.
I think we have too.
Yeah.
So guys, we promise we'll get you this Goop Kitchen episode soon.
Really, really soon. One of us is fucking up. We won't.
One of us hasn't been to Goop Kitchen yet.
Yeah. I think just like guess which one you think might be fucking everything up, and it's probably that one. Okay, anyway, moving on. But it's gonna be really soon.
So yeah, go to Patreon, sign up, go to Apple Podcasts, give us a review, a 5-star rating, tell your friends, and we'll talk to you soon.
We love you.
Bye.
Bye.
Want to get a chiseled look in the jawline? Sculpt and shape your jawline with added volume from Juvederm Volux XC. Juvederm Volux XC is an injectable gel specifically designed to be robust enough to improve moderate to severe loss of jawline definition. And it is the first and only hyaluronic acid filler approved for the jawline. Add volume to your jawline for a chiseled look with Juvederm Volux XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you. Visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.